This is MSONewsSports.com, a special report on a press conference held today with 6th District Congressman Seth Moulton from Massachusetts, serving the North Shore, and Reed Ribble, a Republican congressman from Wisconsin. They're sponsoring a bipartisan resolution on Iran and enforcing the Iran sanctions regarding the nuclear deal. And they comment beyond on some of the actions of Iran. Listen in to this news conference that took place this morning shortly after 11 a.m.
To begin with, I think that to understand why Congressman Ribble and I have put forward this this resolution, the Iran deal, regardless of whether you support it or not, will only be effective at preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon if it is enforced. It's also important to say that the Iran deal is a narrow deal that is solely focused on their nuclear program. And plenty of other issues between the United States and Iran remain. And it's important for Americans to remember that Iran is still an enemy of the United States. Iran opposes our allies and supports our enemies in the Middle East. Iran supports international terrorism. And I personally saw, as a Marine infantry officer fighting in Iraq, troops in Iraq, American troops, who were targeted and killed by Iranian weapons. Indeed, just in the past week, we've seen 3 Americans kidnapped in Baghdad by an Iranian-backed militia. So this resolution is about encouraging the administration to enforce the deal, reaffirming the view of the United States Congress that Iran remains an enemy of the United States, and putting the Iranians, putting on record that violations by Iran of the agreement will not be accepted. So let me just quickly run through some of the highlights in the resolution itself, because I understand that the press on the call hasn't actually received a copy of it yet. First, it ensures effective implementation of the nuclear deal, calling on the President, Congress, and our international partners to ensure that the IAEA, the State Department, and the Treasury Department have the tools necessary to make sure we're inspecting and implementing the deal to the strictest and fullest extent possible. The only way the deal succeeds is if Iran adheres to its terms and we hold Iran to task, with exhaustive inspections and strict compliance. The IAEA, of course, is a primary body tasked with inspections, monitoring, and verification of the technical terms of the deal. Our resolution ensures that the IAEA receives the additional funding needed to make sure that Iran is not cheating on the deal, and that we are afforded unprecedented access to all sites detailed in the agreement, not just tomorrow or next week, but continuing on down the road. On the U.S. side, the State Department's coordinator for Iran nuclear implementation needs to receive the full support of the President and the Congress and have the tools and resources at his or her disposal to ensure Iran complies with the deal and regularly reports to members of Congress as well as to the American people on whether Iran is abiding by the terms and is agreed to. And we believe that reporting requirement is critical. Finally, it makes sure that the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control, OFAC, is properly resourced to make sure the sanctions that remain in place on Iran and any new sanctions the executive or Congress may impose are effective and biting on impact. The second thing it does is it reaffirms our relationship with our allies. And I think that this is something that has been called into question in recent years. We need to reaffirm that our relationships with Israel and our Gulf allies in the region are solid and will remain supported. That means continued intelligence and counterterrorism support, support for missile defense programs such as Iron Dome and David Sling, and acting to finalize negotiations on the new 10-year memorandum of understanding between the U.S. and Israel. And then third, we talk about countering destabilizing Iranian action, which calls on the President and the international community to remain committed to countering Iran's harmful actions throughout the Middle East and across the world. Again, the deal is focused on preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. That doesn't say anything about Iran's other activities in the region. It continues to fund the activities of groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, as well as the Syria's brutal Assad regime and violent militias in Iraq. And so we need to keep up the pressure on Iran for all their other activities. Most notably, their recent Iranian ballistic missile tests and their continued support to terrorists in the region. Those are things that we need to continue to counter, and that needs to happen even while the nuclear deal is in place and implemented. So with that, why don't I turn it over to Congressman Ribble, if you have any comments, and then we can take questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Seth. Thanks for having me on the call and for everyone that's joined us this morning. Basically, the approach that Congressman Bolton and I are taking here is to have the Congress of the United States, now that the agreement is being implemented, we're recognizing the pragmatic reality that the administration is moving forward with the P5+1 agreement. We want to reaffirm and let the administration know, and more importantly, the Iranians know, that there's a level of oversight that's going to happen by the Congress of the United States. The legislative branch is an equal branch to the executive branch. It has foreign affairs responsibilities, and we're going to reaffirm those responsibilities in this resolution, primarily holding Iran to account, making sure that they comply with each and every provision of the agreement in a timely manner, and that we will pay attention to any type of minor or incremental violations of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And we wanted to make sure that both the Iranian leaders and our own administration recognizes that the Congress is serious about its oversight responsibility in relationship to Iran, their involvement in the Middle East, and their support of terrorist organizations. And so that is essentially, with the comments that Congressman Moulton made, what this resolution does. And I'm looking forward to working in bipartisan fashion to move this through to a vote on the floor of the House. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Kerry, and you can moderate any questions that they might have.
Thank you, Congressman. If anyone has any questions, welcome them at this time. Just please state your name and what outlet you're writing for or calling from. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good. And how are you going to move forward with getting this resolution onto the House floor? What's your plan of action?
Well, why don't I let Representative Ribble sure. answer that?
Okay.
He's on the leadership side.
Yeah. As a Republican lead on this, we believe that this resolution is going to be referred to the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which I'm a member of that committee. Like any other resolution or piece of legislation that moves through the House of Representatives, we will go ahead and build our bipartisan co-sponsors. We will make the case within the committees and a request from the committee chairman and ranking member that they move at the most rapid pace to bring this to a markup. And given what we believe is going to be broad bipartisan support for this resolution, we believe that the language in the resolution hits to the degree that it's possible in a divided Congress, a tough enough tone that Republicans will support it while dealing with the necessary reinforcement that the administration wants for Democrats to support, that we believe we're going to have broad enough support that, in fact, the bill will move, that the resolution will move.
And I would just add that, you know, we already have a number of bipartisan supporters for the deal, including Representatives Kennedy and Connolly on the Democratic side, and in addition to Representative Ribble, Representative Jeff Duncan on the Republican side. So I think that's a good sign of future support to come. We'll continue building bipartisan support when Congress returns next week to Washington.
Hi, this is Josh Siegel with the Daily Signal. So it sounds like you're not calling on new sanctions at this time. Is that possibility still exist, or did you find that was, you know, pretty impossible? Like you said, you were trying to find language that would satisfy Republicans and Democrats and could actually become law. So,
Seth, go ahead, Seth, and then I'll follow up.
Sure, thanks, Reed. Absolutely, that possibility still exists. This resolution, I think, sets the framework for that. Really lays out our position in a bipartisan way on some of the things that that might call for additional sanctions. So even though the resolution itself doesn't call for specific sanctions. I think it makes it very clear that that's still on the table.
Yeah, the first sentence says reaffirming the right for the United States to use all available options. And so we're not taking anything off the table, including sanctions, if we believe that Iran is not meeting and living up to the agreement that they signed.
Hi, this is Susan Crabtree from the Washington Examiner. Are you guys hearing me?
Yep.
I'm wondering, do you have a commitment from Roy to go ahead and move this bill through committee? That's for Ribble and Congressman Ribble and for Congressman Bolton. Do you have any kind of even tacit support from the administration? Is this something the administration's encouraging you to do? Anyone in the White House or in State Department or otherwise?
This is Congressman Ribble. I was in Africa last week with Chairman Royce. I did mention the resolution to him and that it would be coming. He is interested in taking a look at the language. He did not take a posture in support or opposition. He took the normal posture that you would get from a committee chairman. Hey, bring it in and let's talk about it. And that's what I plan to do.
Gotcha.
So thank you for the question. This is Seth. We did not, this is a congressional resolution. I did not vet it with the White House or the National Security Council. But there's nothing in here, I think, that at least from a public perspective, the administration is opposed to. I think that there's some concern in Congress that the administration has not done enough to enforce the deal and to respond to the minor or incremental violations that Iran has made already, including their ballistic missile tests. And so, frankly, if we were satisfied with the administration's response to date, we wouldn't have written the resolution.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Makes sense.
This is Christina Marcus with The Hill. We don't see too many bipartisan bills when it comes to Iran. How did the two of you come together on this issue?
Well, for this is Congressman Ribble. Seth and I have built a friendship over his time in the Congress. We have a great deal of respect for each other. And when Congressman Bolton began talking about this, he approached me about it a couple months ago and asked if I'd be willing to work on it with him, and I was anxious to do so. He certainly has the military bona fides with which to be aware of Iran's actions in the Middle East. With my foreign policy and foreign affairs work, I'm certainly well aware of where Iran is and how they've postured themselves. And we thought it was a good partnership.
And I'll just add to that that when I look across the Congress today, I think that Reed Ribble is someone who has the courage to cross party lines and do what's right, even at a time when there's a lot of political pressure to just stay within party lines. And so he was one of the very first people I went to. And, of course, we quickly found that we shared the very same concerns about Iran and about enforcing this deal.
Follow-up. This is Susan Crabtree again. So I just wanted to get your reaction to the sanctions that the administration placed on Iran for the ballistic missile testing. What is your reaction to that? And I guess I would assume that you don't think it's enough from your previous statement.
I mean, my quick view, and I'll let Reed chime in here, is that this is a step in the right direction, but I'm not convinced yet that it's going to be sufficient enough. And, of course, you know, it took some time. I mean, this wasn't an immediate reaction. I think part of enforcing the deal is showing that we're going to be firm and fast in responding to any violations of the deal or other ways in which Iran threatens our allies or destabilizes the Middle East.
In October and November, Iran test launched medium-range ballistic missiles, and it's a clear violation of the Security Council Resolution 1929. The U.S. certainly has within its capabilities and its rights to continue to apply sanctions at the most forceful level if they choose to.
Okay.
All right, are there any other questions? Well, I just want to thank everybody for joining this. I'm very proud to be putting forward this resolution with bipartisan support, and especially with Representative Reeve Ribble in the lead. So thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to following up.
Thanks, everybody.
Again, you've been listening to a news conference with Massachusetts 6th District U.S. Congressman Seth Moulton, along with a colleague, Reed Ribble, a Republican from Wisconsin, as they are co-sponsoring a joint resolution. We may be able to post up some more information on this post later today. News conference wrapping up just shortly before 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. This is MSONewsSports.com.